Good morning. Are we still in the spirit of Christmas? Christmas is forever, not for just one day. For loving, sharing, giving are not to put away. Like bells and lights and tinsels in some box upon a shelf. The good you do to others is good you do yourself. This is an excerpt from a poem written by Norman Brooks in 1976 entitled, Let Every Day Be Christmas. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing us your Son, Jesus Christ, and setting us an example that at an early age, He was found to be in your house doing your will for him. May we also be found doing your will, which you have called us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. So, still in the festive spirit of Christmas, let's go into the gospel reading we had just heard. It was Luke's narrative of Jesus during the adolescent age, found only in his gospel. This is a sequential event describing what occurred when Jesus went together with his parents to visit the temple in Jerusalem for the feast of Passover. As this was their annual custom to go during this time of feast, Luke's narration started by introducing Jesus' parents and their annual pilgrimage to Jerusalem, followed by a scenario of what happened back then when Jesus was 12 years old. He describes how Jesus stayed in Jerusalem unknown to his parents while they returned home, and how they eventually found him after 3 days in the temple engaging with the teachers. Luke concluded this narration with Jesus returning home and obeying his parents while his mother treasured what had occurred in her heart. In verses 41 and 42, we see that every year Jesus' parents go to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. This was their constant practice, a tradition rooted in their lives, in an act of devotion to God. This also displays obedience to God's commandments and observance of the temple in Jerusalem as the center of worship. If you ask an Australian, how far is Nazareth to Jerusalem? He would probably answer you, not far, mate. Well, according to Google Maps, it's about 150 kilometers. That's how close Nazareth and Jerusalem is. It's about the same as Manjura to Busselton or Manjura to Williams. Has anyone of you tried this journey so far by chariots or maybe horse? As Luke describes it in our text, it's a day's journey. What's my point here? It takes 100% attitude towards God's obedience, God's commands, which is an important aspect of our faith in our relationship with Him. This means we strive to fully obey and follow His teachings without holding anything back or making excuses to disobey. This distance of a day's journey to be traveled is not a hindrance to a devout person like Joseph and Mary. I'd like to take you further and explore why having 100% attitude towards God's command is crucial for our spiritual growth and relationship with Him. The word attitude means a mental position with regard to a fact or states. That's from Merriam-Webster. Let us examine the numbers associated with each letter to the word attitude. The numbers are the corresponding numerical value of each letter, like A is equivalent to 1, B is to 2, and so on. Adding those numbers would result to 100%. Is this just a numerical coincidence? No, it's not. If our attitude towards God's command is not 100%, probably you misspelled the word attitude. You may have missed one of the T. Amen? As Jesus' parents, Joseph and Mary, has 100% attitude by carefully observing what is customary under the law, and they did these things to Jesus. Thank you. Like when Jesus was 8 years old, they brought him for circumcision. Then at the time of purification, again, they brought him to Jerusalem because accordingly, every male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. So they sacrifice an offering of 2 young pigeons, as it is stated in the law of the Lord. Also, under the law, the Passover was one of the 3 feasts that a male Jew must attend. And in fact, they are not to appear before the Lord empty-handed. This means they must appear before the Lord together with their offerings. The other 2 feasts are the Feast of Weeks, also called Pentecost, and the Feast of Booths, also called Feast of Tabernacles or Sukkot. So Joseph and Mary attended this festival of Passover on a yearly basis. Based on traditional interpretation and practice, it is at the age of 13 where they can be religiously responsible. Young boys before the age of 13 can accompany their fathers to the feast, but are not yet obligated to attend. Which is, in this case, Luke's account of the story happened during their attendance of the Feast of Passover, when Jesus was 12 years of age, which is a year short of his obligated age of attendance. Luke's account of the story gives us no clue how Jesus became separated from his parents and chose to stay behind Jerusalem and do his father's will without his parents' awareness. His parents assume Jesus was with their kin or other groups of travelers. But it was too late for them to realize that after spending a day's journey, Jesus was nowhere to be found. After looking for him among their relatives and friends, there seems to be an extra trust Jesus had earned from his parents, that Joseph and Mary never bothered to first find Jesus before they left and assumed that he was with relatives or other travelers. But where is Jesus? This could be very inconvenient for them. There are times when we are sidetracked from busyness of life and caught in a situation where we feel like we lost Jesus. What's our attitude when we are in dire situation like this? Can you still hang on to the promises? Like from Isaiah chapter 41, verses 10 to 11, which says, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, and I will uphold you with my victorious right hand." Yes, all who are incensed against you shall be ashamed and disgraced. Those who strive against you shall be as nothing and shall perish. Also, we found in Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. "I hereby command you, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." These sorts of scriptures are my inspiration. Way back about 2.5 years ago, I've been in, probably you saw me using crutches because of my knees cannot hold my body due to inflammation. But by the grace of God, still I can say, I am not what my body says I am, but I am what God says I am. By Jesus' stripes, I am healed. I can say this. This is grace and 100% attitude, because regardless of what I failed, I still can confess the truth of what Jesus already accomplished for me. I know in my spirit that my body is in me to the spirit. It contradicts what God says I am. But nevertheless, I confess the truth, what God says of what I am. In our second reading from Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 3, verses 12 to 17. Let me read again. "As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you. So you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom and with gratitude in your hearts. Sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. In whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." I believe these are literal words, right? And I pray we'll have a 100% attitude of following this. For if we do, I believe, regardless of what we hear or what actions we see that may be thrown at us, there would be no resentment that arises. Back to Joseph and Mary. What's their attitude when they lost Jesus? It's 100%. Regardless of inconvenience, the distance in the day they have journeyed back to Jerusalem, still they managed and were expecting to see and find Jesus. Did they fail to see him? No. They were able to find him at the temple. Jesus was found sitting among the teachers, not only listening to them, but also asking them questions, which manifested himself being filled with wisdom, or being with himself the wisdom, because the favor of God in man was upon him. Indeed, Jesus at his young age gained more wisdom in understanding than the teachers, as the psalmist says. And all who heard him, including Joseph and Mary, were amazed. But Jesus simply and firmly replied to Mary, "Why were you searching for me? Did you know that I must be in my Father's house?" This response from Jesus could have been a surprise for Joseph and Mary, clarifying that God was his Father. In response to Mary's statement of Jesus as his Father, which displays Jesus' awareness of his unique relationship to God and Father, referring to the temple as his Father's house. Again, we see Jesus 100% attitude of obedience to God the Father, whom he put precedence being in that temple over going back home. At an early age, his words are metaphoric and needs to be deeply understood. This teaches us also that our children are not simply ours. They are God's children too. For it is to God in whom each of us will give an account. It is to God alone we ultimately belong and should owe our allegiance. Our gospel reading today preludes Jesus' later teachings in ministry, which reveal his divine sonship. It includes what he claims: the time is coming when worshipers will shift from going to the physical location of the temple in Jerusalem. But true worship is a matter of the heart and spirit, and does not require a specific location. This idea of true worship is consistent with what Paul said to the Corinthians. "Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you?" Clearly, God, through the Holy Spirit, dwells within each believer, making the heart and spirit the ultimate location of worship. As I conclude, Jesus' ability to engage educated teachers despite his young age and having no record of having formally attended school proved the mystery of his personality. Additionally, we see a 100% attitude towards commitment to the will of his Father, setting an example for learning and teaching the Word of God. May we be devoting ourselves to seeking God's will as we strive to follow Jesus' example in our lives. This event in the young Jesus' life was his Father's business to prepare him for a greater divine purpose, which would culminate in his ministry and subsequent sacrificial death, so that you and I can be a new creation and worship God in our hearts and spirits. May we ever find Jesus in God's temple that is in everyone. The Lord be with you.